You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast. Sam Norris here, joined by Rory Delaghi, to take a look ahead to the action. And that we'll be looking ahead to all of the action live on Racing Radio. You can join Jason Thornton in the studio alongside the team on Tuesday. It'll be John Babb and Andy Holding next to Jason. But first things first, Rory, how are you today?
I am very well, thank you.
Good. We'll start, though, Rory, with, I was going to call it breaking news, but the news has been out for about 24 hours now when we record this podcast. But Duvan set to miss the remainder of the season. Another big name out of contention. Not a massive surprise, given that he's missed some recent engagements, but a blow nonetheless, especially to the two-mile chasing division.
Yeah, very much so. He obviously is a horse who has looked an absolute monster on his day. And his day was pretty much every start,
yes,
until last year's champion chase. But he's a very big horse, Duvan. And once big horses get problems in the first place, it can be difficult to keep them straight. And he had been reported to have done a good piece of work prior to the Tingle Creek. And Willie Mullinson said he needed to get another piece of work into him. He wasn't happy with that, and he missed that race. And now he turns out not to be sound. And I'd be surprised if we ever saw him again, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah. And it would be absolutely inconceivable a few years ago to suggest that this horse would never win a champion chase.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, his performance as a novice would have been good enough to see him crowned a champion chaser. Well, of course, ironically, Altior, who won the Arkle,
yep,
last season, also beat the best 2 mile chasers in open company both before and after that. So he's got that reputation as well. Very, very different horses, Altior and Duvan, in terms of their physique. And again, we're hoping that we see Altior come March, although his setback was just a need for a breathing operation, the fact that he's been talked off as having to go straight to the champion chase is bizarre at this stage. So let's hope that his issue isn't complicated by something else, and we do see him. But I think the last time I did one of these with you, I was saying that Fox Norton should be favourite,
yes,
for the champion chase.
Yeah.
The irony on that is that he's been beaten in the Tingle Creek, only just, mind you, not showing his usual fluency, but only going down narrowly. But now he's Colin Tizard's talking about stepping up to 3 miles in the King George. So I give up, really. But hopefully, I mean, yeah, I don't know what I'm hoping for. Hoping he gets stuffed in the King George and then drops back to 2 miles again. I'd rather not see a horse heading for the champion chase, racing over 3 miles in between times, because it can't benefit them particularly. But we'll see how that pans out. And I know we'll be talking about the King George very shortly anyway.
Yeah.
So
it seems as though we spent the bulk of the back end of last season licking our lips in anticipation for Altior versus Duvan. Now all of a sudden, the 2 mile chasing division, there's holes in it everywhere.
Well, yeah. The real race to look forward to, I ended up writing about this last week, doing a review of the year for the Irish field, and thinking that the clash we really want to see is Altior versus Min
in a champion chase.
When you think that they've been rivals since day one, really.
Since the Supreme.
I mean, not always racing against each other, but they met in the Supreme. Min's connections were adamant that he would not be beaten again. He's had his issues since. Altior's now got his. But you do hope the pair of them turn up in good form. For all, I think Fox Norton is still an underrated horse. Altior versus Min is a very, very sexy clash.
Yeah, definitely.
In the champion chase, and let's hope it actually happens.
Yeah, Min mightily impressive on his seasonal return at Gowran. 1-9 and only had two rivals to beat.
Yes.
But we talk about how a 1-9 shot should win.
Yeah, well,
It was like that, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. But, you know, championship races are a different kettle of fish altogether.
Yes, and yes.
That's what we really want to see in a champion chase. Is how horses will go head to head, from the top of the hill, from the fourth last fence. There's no quarter asked and none given, and it's a very different race to win a horse of that calibre is allowed to dominate lesser rivals. And we had this scenario a couple of years ago with Sprinter Sacker versus Undersoul, and people thought I was nuts to think that Sprinter Sacker could win that battle. But he really rose to the occasion and gave us one of the great memories of that season.
Yeah, absolutely.
For all the Gold Cup is still the big race, and people seem to be remarkably keen to miss the championship. You know, you've got a champion chase horse. A lot of people go, I might go Ryanair with this.
Yeah.
Or let's see if we can convince ourselves that this 2 miler is a 3.25 mile horse. I don't know why. It's the real championship races at the festival. The champion chase has been in existence for the shortest period of time. You know, we've only had it since the late 50s, and it's only been run in its present format for less than 40 years, essentially. But it is, when you get a good champion chase, it's often the sight of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
To see 2 mile chasers winging their way across Cheltenham's fences at top speed is just absolutely tremendous to witness, much more so than the Gold Cup is.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Let's take a look at the Monday Jury as well, reflecting on this weekend's contenders. We'll start with the International Hurdle. The two old rivals, My Tent or Yours, and the new one served up a cracking battle, eventually My Tent or Yours, going on to record the victory. The new one couldn't give the weight away. Melon back in third. Plenty of things to take out of the race. We'll start with the winner, My Tent or Yours. I couldn't believe how long it's been since he recorded a victory. I know he's danced all the big dances and run creditably in them, but years since he won a race on turf over hurdles.
I know it's he's won a bumper, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's won a jumper's bumper in between.
But yeah, it was a wonderful race to watch, and I was with the new one, and it would have been tremendous to see the new one win 4 international hurdles / Beulah hurdles / Cheltenham trial hurdle, which is what it's originally called. Okay. For all those people who go, oh, we should still call it the Beulah. It was always the Beulah. Well,
okay.
It wasn't the Beulah in 1970. It's a tremendous race, and you know what makes it great? What makes it great, bizarrely enough, given comments made afterwards, is the fact that it's a Grade 2 hurdle, and that the conditions mean that it's really competitive, and you can have 5 or 6 horses with a chance in it, and the result of it is not always a guide to what's going to happen in the champion hurdle. So it should never be viewed as a champion hurdle trial. For all, that's exactly what it was. It was the trial hurdle in the first place. And it's very strange. I didn't hear Nigel Twiston Davis' comments afterwards about they're all Grade 1s in Ireland, why is it not a Grade 1? I assumed that was tongue-in-cheek in the first place, because if it was a Grade 1, it would be a 2 or 3 runner race. And it would be dreadful. And we've got far too many Grade 1 hurdles.
Yep, the fighting fifth only a few weeks before.
Exactly, and horses able to dodge each other. You've got the fighting fifth, and you've got new races being invented to give hurdlers a chance of not clashing. And to turn this into a Grade 1 as well would water it down even further. It is a Grade 2. It's a Grade 2 when the new one won it 3 times before. So it's bizarre that Nigel Twiston Davis should be anti it, and he's won it with the Cadbury King win it for him back in the day when he was second in the champion as well. That's what makes it as a race. And it was an absolutely wonderful contest. And the new one was giving weight away to My Tent or Yours, but he gave him £8 in a beating last year. We're giving him £6 this time around. You could hardly wish for a more enjoyable hurdle race than that. For all, you can look at it afterwards and go, yes, but there's probably not a champion hurdler in that race, and look, the sixth wasn't beaten that far. Forget that. Just put on a decent hurdle race over 2 miles with decent horses in it and enjoy the fact that it's really enthralling.
Yes, yes.
You know, all roads shouldn't lead to March. You should be able to have really good races.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, when I first got into jump racing, was a time when Bird's Nest was winning races like this and the Fighting Fifth. And he never won a champion hurdle. And if you judge horses purely on what they did at Cheltenham in March, Bird's Nest was a massive failure. And yet he kept beating Night Nurse. And he kept beating Sea Pigeon. And those horses were clashing in these races, and you didn't know who was going to win most of the season. And they weren't just about, it'll be a different story in March. They were great races in their own right, the Fighting Fifth and the Beulah. And we need to enjoy races like that for what they are. And that was an absolutely tremendous renewal of the international hurdle at the weekend. And that should be it, full stop.
Yep.
Let's not talk about who's going to win if they clash again in March. Forget that. forget it. Just enjoy it for what it is now.
Yeah, no, a very fair point. One final point on that race. Mellon, a little bit disappointing again?
No, I thought Mellon ran it as well as could be expected. You've got to remember, and what we constantly fail to take into consideration, there's a massive step up from the Supreme to the Champion. How many horses have won the Supreme and the Champion in successive years? It's virtually unheard of, and yet every year we seem to expect it to happen. And Mellon wasn't even the winner of Supreme. He was beaten in the Supreme, and he's run the race of his life to finish third. He was big and bold at his hurdles, too big and too bold, essentially.
Yeah,
he was a little bit free, and then he raced on the wrong part of the track from the last hurdle. The winner came right up the rail, which is always the place to be, and Mellon was stuck towards the middle of the track. But it was about learning, it was about getting him ready to be a contender. Essentially in this division, and I thought he ran a very good race, all things considered. He needs to improve £10 to fulfil what connections expect of him over hurdles, but that was a decent step in the right direction. Anyone who thinks Mellon was disappointing probably needs to look at the task that actually faced him on paper. The first and second there, for all they've had their limitations exposed in champion hurdles, are absolutely top notch hurdlers.
Okay. It was a good day all round for Nicky Henderson. Apple Shakira is the next question on the jury. Won comfortably at odds of 1 to 10, was never asked a serious question, did it on the bridle. But we spoke a little bit earlier on about how 1 to 9, 1 to 10 shots should win. A lot of people, the tendency is you expect them to absolutely bolt up. But Dan Skelton's horse gave it a little bit of a race at.
Yeah.
At one stage.
And she learned more from this than she did in her debut, and it will help her development. She's a pretty sound jumper, isn't she? And that's a big thing, which seems to be a family trait, because Apple's Jade is a wonderful jumper of a hurdle. That was always something that set her apart as a juvenile. And Apple Shakira is not far behind her at this stage, but it's worth bearing in mind that I think she is behind her at this stage in terms of achievement, and also in terms of the competition that she's faced. I remember Apple's Jade winning the big juvenile race at Leopardstown over Christmas, or certainly the big mares. It was the big juvenile hurdle. She won that narrowly from Jerry's Girl with Footpad in third.
Yeah,
and let's be absolutely blunt; those are three top class performers. Whereas Apple Shakira hasn't really met anything of that caliber. Gumball is a useful horse, the horse she beat first time up, but he didn't help himself the way he went through that race. He was impressive at Chepstow prior to that, and he's clearly a very good horse, but being fluent over your hurdles is really important to Cheltenham, and he's kicked them out of the ground, as he had done in his previous starts as well, to be honest. He's also stuck to the inside of the track, and she's come wide on bad ground, which has made her look different class to him, and she probably wasn't quite as good as the margin of victory suggested, but she's clearly very good. Both performances look similar next to each other, and they would make her a contender for a triumph hurdle, but of course she could go the Dawn Run route as well. She needs to be put into a race where there's a lot of competition. She needs to be running in a decent sized field before she goes for a championship race. That's what would concern me, but I wouldn't want to crab anything she's done so far.
Yeah.
But we tend to conflate when you get full siblings who's shown a high level of form, you tend to suddenly start attributing stuff that the older one has done to the younger one as if they're exactly the same, and they're not. So she's got to prove it in her own right.
Yeah, a good crop of juvenile hurdlers around at the moment, though, and hopefully Apple Shakira can continue to go from strength to strength. Elsewhere across the weekend, anything else worthy of mention? There was plenty worthy of mention. Is there anything caught your eye going for particularly?
Well, on the subject of Apple Shakira winning there, the Pendleton horse he won up at Doncaster was
Simon Muir horse.
Yeah, was very impressive.
What a dream! No, it wasn't What a Dream. Something like that.
I can't remember the name of any horse anymore, but
yeah. I'll find the name of the horse, because that was another impressive.
We have a dream.
I have a
dream. Something like that.
Something like Dream.
Yeah.
Didn't it? Anyway. Doncaster, the one on the summit hurdle, We Have a Dream.
We Have a Dream, yeah. There you go. That was impressive as well, particularly in the closing stages, cleared away very nicely indeed. I don't believe in trying to tie these anti-post races down too early in the season when you haven't seen an awful lot of what's happening, but I mean, some very good contenders. And of course, Willie Mullins had a huge margin winner as well over the weekends.
At Punchestown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was frighteningly impressive. Same sort of winning margin as Apple's Jade put up when she won at the Grade 1 at Aintree as a juvenile. That one running in the Jared Sullivan colours, wasn't it?
Yes.
So, yeah, there's a lot of competition in the Triumph Hurdle these days. I say Triumph Hurdle slash Dawn Run, because we're getting a couple of very, very high-quality fillies coming through who will be getting an allowance.
Fairy House, of course, it was, not Punch's House.
Fairy House, rather, sorry, yeah.
Stormy Island, question, yeah.
That was, I mean, she was getting weight from the runner-up, 58 lengths. Yeah. So you do have to be wary of winning margins on bad ground.
True.
But just because horses are winning well on bad ground doesn't mean they're reliant on that ground in the first place. And clearly Stormy Island is something something very special. She was given the run of the race, very much so. But lots of horses get there on the race, win races like that by 10 or 12 lengths, and she's won by 58, which is an enormous winning margin. So it's good to have that that quality in the novice hurdling division. And there have been plenty of good performances in that division so far this season, so we've got a lot to look forward to.
Definitely. On to some of the races over the festive period then. We'll start with the King George. Mike Bite, the favourite presently for the King George. A worthy favourite? What do you make of the race?
He should be favourite, but whether he should be, what is he, 5-4? You've got the betting?
Yeah, I think 5-4, 11-8, I think.
That's a very short price without knowing who's lining up. And it may cut up a little bit. But he's been priced up as if there's no question at all about his antics late on in the race, which is
do we get the impression that he's ironed those out now because he hasn't done it for a few races?
Well, he hasn't done it for one race, essentially.
Two races. Didn't do it at Aintree.
Didn't do it
at his reappearance this year.
Yeah, but he's.
I know what you mean. Whether it goes away.
He's
or
come
not.
Down at the last at Kempton last year in the Cotto Star, and on two occasions at Cheltenham, he's pulled himself up on the run in.
Yeah.
And when a horse starts doing that, they don't tend to get entirely better. But he impressed me at Sandown. But the Sandown race was a graduation chase in which he was entitled to win by half the track. And The King George is a different kettle of fish altogether. So, I mean, he's the kind of horse that, you know, if you're asking me for a selection in the race, he's the one that I think is the likeliest winner. But I would never have him in at 5-4, and I'm sure you will get better odds than that before the day. Bristol Demai, I love Bristol Demai. And
does he need soft ground at Haydock, or is he
needs,
better on soft ground?
He needs to get his toe in.
Yeah.
But his very best form has come going on a flat left handed track. Kempton. I think we'll just take him out of his rhythm a little bit. That's the concern. But I'd like to see him win because he's been slagged off a lot despite winning by an absolutely enormous margin in the Betfair Chase last time out. And I've always maintained that he just needed time to strengthen up. You know, he won a Grade One on his UK debut. He won the finale at Chepstow, and he jumped the hurdles there like there were fences as well. And you could see immediately, this is going to be a top-class chaser somewhere down the line. But he was only a three-year-old at the time. Would have been I'm trying to think if the meeting was postponed until January.
Oh, right, yeah. And would have
been a four-year-old.
Yeah.
But you could tell that somewhere down the line, if they looked after him, he would be top-class chaser. And I always said it would be this season rather than last. So, you know, people have pointed out that he's not been the most consistent. But you know, he's not always been ridden to best effect. He's either been held up, which he doesn't want to do, or on one or two occasions in the past he's been ridden too aggressively, including at the Cheltenham Festival a couple of seasons ago as a novice in the JLT. When the ground is soft, it makes Darrell Jacobs' mind up for him, that you just let him roll at almost his maximum cruising speed. And that suits him down to the ground and is too good for most of his rivals. And he's shown that a couple of times at Haydock. But he doesn't need Haydock. He will do it elsewhere.
Yeah.
But Kempton is a slight question mark because it's the other way around. It's a tight right-handed track. And he's been beaten at Sandown before, although, you know, his defeat by Armad in the Cillians or the Henry VIII Bishop one that was justifiable at the time. It's a really interesting race, but it's not a great race to punt in at this stage. Jury's very much out in the Tizard horses. I know Q-Card's not is going to miss the race now. I find it very odd they're mapping out his retirement. He's going to have these three runs and be retired. I think you have to make a decision about whether to retire a horse based on what it's showing in a particular run.
Yeah, because if he's massively disappointing and pulls up next time.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost tempting. Or if he wins the last one of those by 20 legs.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I think that's a bit strange. I think it's strange to run Fox Norton in this. People, it's like running 2.5 milers in the Grand National. People have this notion that the King George really suits a 2 miler. It doesn't. They never win it. And Folks Norton won't win it either. Thistle Crack,
have we seen the best of Thistle Crack?
I think so. Yeah. I didn't think he was far short of a run, certainly in terms of physical appearance.
Yeah,
at Newbury, and I didn't think he showed quite his usual enthusiasm. I think if you didn't know anything about Thistle Crack, you said he went through the race perfectly fine and then blew up and needed the run. But I just thought there was a spark missing from him rather than a lack of fitness. Yeah. And if that's the case, it's going to be very difficult to get him back on track. So the jury's very much, again, I would love to see him back, but he's got questions to answer now.
Yeah, certainly so.
T for two at 20s is interesting because he'll definitely go for the race.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how badly it'll cut up. He ran a cracker in it last year behind Thistle Crack when he was the only horse to really put it up to the winner, and he suffered late on because of that. And although theoretically he ran badly in the Betfair Shield, I thought he ran a brilliant race for a long way before he doesn't want a slog in the mud at that kind of trip. And he's got very tired and got run out of a place late on. I thought... for a long way, he's shaped as good as ever. I'm sure he is as good as ever. And of course, he beat Cucard in the bowl at Aintree, the 3 mile one grade one, as opposed to the 2.5 mile grade one at Aintree. He's better going right handed. Kempton suits him really well. Of course, he won the Cotto Star the previous year, given Lizzie Kelly the first woman to win to win a grade one chase. And she's since won an open grade one chase on him as well. So I think he'll be placed. I think there are better horses than him in the race, but he's reliable given his conditions. And if you're looking for a bet, backing him each way is probably as interesting as anything at this stage.
The Welsh Grand National as well, always one of the features over the festive period. 10-1 co-favourites at 3 at this stage. Ask the Weatherman, Beware the Bear and Chase the Spud. All 10-1. Have to say Beware the Bear and Chase the Spud. Certainly two horses that I've enjoyed seeing thus far and thought a race like this would be ideally suited.
Yeah, I gather that Beware the Bear is not a certain runner.
Okay.
Comments made by Nicky Henderson at the weekend. He did well to win the other day. Was that up at Doncaster?
Yeah, I think it was.
Or Newcastle.
Was it? Yeah.
Where he just... Oh, it was a rehearsal chase, wasn't it? Where he looked to be going nowhere for much of the race and then kicked in the turbo late on to get it done. I'm not a massive fan of Ask the Weatherman, I have to say.
He's this big champion point-to-point horse, isn't he? Who won like 100 point-to-points before running under rules.
But we've seen enough of him under rules, and beating Rebel Rebellion at Wincanton is nothing special, quite frankly. It's similar form to be showed when reasonably well fancied for the Fox Hunter.
Yep.
When he was... he was beaten into seventh. It was a really good race, the Fox Hunter. But it pretty much puts him in his place. What weight will he have for that? I guess he'd be fairly well weighted.
Yeah.
But I'm just not convinced of him. I think he's one of those horses who suits bullying lesser horses in point-to-points than he does running under rules. I thought he looked a little bit out of his comfort zone in the Fox Hunter, and this will be just as hard, won't it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I think I agree. I thought Hunter Chases would be his bag generally, and they'd be looking at another tilt toward the Fox Hunters.
Fundamentally, he's one of those horses who jumps point fences well, as far as I'm aware. I don't watch many points. But his jumping under rules is just a little bit suspect. He's not a bad jumper, but there are a lot of horses who just lack the scope to jump regulation fences well, but slightly smaller fences that you tend to get in point-to-points are a lot easier for them.
10 stone 7.
Yeah, it's a good racing weight. But I just think he lacks the class of one or two. It's a very competitive looking race at this stage, but of course we're just looking at the original acceptors.
Yes.
And a lot will change. A horse that I've always liked a lot is Final Nudge.
Yeah.
Who I napped when he was second in the Badger Beer. Ran an absolutely cracking race there, beaten by Present Man and an inspired ride from Bryony Frost. He'll run his race again. He loves a slog in the mud. Interesting that American is a 14-1 shot for the race when every man and his dog wanted to back him at Newbury. He just needed that experience.
Yeah.
The issue there was he'd never run outside of novice company, and he had a very light novice season, and he just made a couple of mistakes in one of the most competitive handicap chases of the entire season, and he'll have learnt a lot from that. So it's a bit bonkers that he's such a big price. His weight wouldn't bother me. Horses have won this with big weights in the past. And he... I'd be more interested in him than... I think I can see Beware the Bear getting completely lost if he runs in this.
Okay.
He's a very good prospect, Beware the Bear, for long-distance chases, but he's still... if he runs the way he did at Newcastle, he'd be tailed off at halfway.
Right.
And you don't come back from that at Chepstow. You can in a small field race at the likes of Newcastle, but in a big field contest at Chepstow, if you're not in contention at the end of the back straight, then there's no way you get it back into the race again. So that would count against him. For all, he will come good in time. Final Nudge has got plenty of experience to get involved here. I like his chances.
Okay.
There's not many hiding. I would say American. I felt that he was too much of a wise guy horse at Newbury. You know, everyone had spotted him.
Yep.
And they all seemed to think that they'd find something no one else had found. And now they've all deserted him, and they shouldn't have.
Okay.
So he makes appeal at 14-1 as well.
Okay. 14-1 a pair of them, American and Final Nudge. Final question on the jury then, across the Irish Sea, the race formerly known as the Lexus Chase. It says in the paper, York Hill favourites oversizing, John. The joint favourites at time recording, 9-4 apiece. The reigning Gold Cup winner advertised his well-being when we saw him on his seasonal reappearance, and takes on the enigmatic York Hill.
I don't get the love for York Hill. I really don't.
I've never understood why people like quirky horses as such.
And I don't mind that people like quirky horses, but
quirky horses.
The fact
exception
that
of
people,
my bite.
You know, there are a lot of people out there and reasonably good judges who think this horse is an absolute certainty. Mm. Absolutely, he's going to win. He's going to bolt up on this. He's going to be odds on for the Gold Cup. Why? Why? What has he done to justify that?
Yeah.
I'm one of the very few people who thought after he won the JLT, I don't think the JLT was a Gold Cup winning performance. I don't think that was the performance of a horse who was going to be unbeatable next year. I thought Top Notch should have won that race.
Okay.
And I'm probably the only person in the world who thought so. Because if you watch it back again, if you know all about Top Notch and what a bold jumper he is when he's asked for a jump. Coming to the second last, all to play for, and Darrell Jacob shortens him up going to the second last. He makes his only mistake of the race, loses a lot of ground and momentum. York Hill then gets a winning lead, and Top Notch closes them all the way to the line, gets within a length of them at the end. If Top Notch had been asked for a big jump at the second last, every time he's asked for a big jump, he delivers one. And he had plenty of time to see it on a stride, and Darrell was just a bit too careful on him. We all know that Darrell's a confidence jockey. He's riding with a huge amount of confidence at the moment. But he didn't on that occasion. He didn't ride Bristol Demai with any confidence at all in the Gold Cup either, by the way. If he'd asked that horse up for a big jump at the second last, I think he'd have beaten York Hill.
Okay.
I think York Hill got an amazing ride from Ruby Walsh, and most people would agree with that. Ruby was absolutely stunning on the day. After everything went wrong in the first 2 days of the festival, but he gave York Hill an incredibly good ride to let that horse, to basically school him round and make him think he wasn't in a race. And it came off the end, he won by a length. You can't have it both ways. You can't have that as a brilliant ride and York Hill as the next Arkle.
Okay.
Because you don't win the JLT by a length of you the next Arkle. And he's just... I don't want him at 3 miles.
Okay.
Kind of thing I would say. The longer you give this horse to think about what he's doing, the more likely he is to do something stupid.
Yes,
I would rather he was going down the Champion Chase route. I think that gives him a chance. The way that race is run means that he's... Nothing can go through his head at all.
Has to be more focused on the job, yeah.
Exactly. And that would actually suit him. Just sticking to the inside rail all the way around... and pouncing late. I think the Gold Cup, I couldn't see him in the frame in a Gold Cup, quite frankly.
Okay, so you'd have Sizing John over him.
I'd have Sizing John over him,
I
mean, I think Sizing John is beatable. I don't think Sizing John is the... He's kind of the next best mate rather than the next the next Arkle.
Yeah.
But he keeps getting it done. He's a thorough professional, and he was impressive in the Durkin. And I would definitely have him in that match.
Okay, that's the Menagerie taken care of then. We'll look ahead to Tuesday's racing then. Two from Southall, from Top Quality and National Hunt Racing, to the action on the 5% at Southall. But we've got a couple of races picked out, beginning with the 2 o'clock, a handicap over 6 furlongs. Nine runners lining up for this 2 o'clock race, Rory. And for the track, it's not a bad heat at all.
No, it's not a bad race at all. The decent quality sprints at Southall are reliable betting mediums as a whole. The couple of interesting horses in this race. Hammer Gun landed something of a gamble last time out, which annoyed me because I was quite interested in him at a price last time, but someone got in there before me, a long time before me, and he ended up being quite short. But he won well and in a good time, and he's handicapped. I think, is he carrying a penalty? Yeah, he is. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
He's carrying a penalty for that win, and he's definitely handicapped to win again. Unfortunately, his win was over 7 furlongs. He generally races over 7 furlongs in a mile. He drops back to 6 furlongs against specialist sprinters, and I think that probably catches him out tomorrow.
Okay.
And the horse that I like here, a horse that I've always liked, is Tricky Dicky.
Yep.
He's drawn a Sol 1, which I think a lot of people would have as being a little bit of a negative on the round track at Southall. My view is, as long as you're not daft enough to stick to the inside rail when you turn for home, Sol 1's fine for a sprinter, especially one that can take a decent position. He's very, very consistent on the surface. He's won twice this season. He's won once a season at Southern and run very well on another occasion. And he's only £2 higher for his last run, which is a very good performance. There's more to come from him. He's only a 4-year-old who's been looked after by Ollie Williams. I think if he was in a bigger yard, he'd be almost unbackable sometimes. He certainly was punted off the boards when he won here in October. But his overall profile is a progressive one all the time. He's better suited by this steep surface than he is by, say, polytrack or even quickish ground. And I think there's more to come from this winter. So he looks a solid option for me, Tricky Dicky. And hopefully he can make light of that drawn stall one.
Tricky Dicky in the 2 o'clock then. On to 2:30, which is a claimer over a mile and 3. Just 6 runners to sort out this time. Who's your idea of the winner? To be fair, we've got 5 of these horses who wouldn't be in trouble in our previous race in a handicap. Not over that trip, I would say, but we've got 80 and 70 races.
This is the thing about the quality of claiming races, yes, on the all weather. You get some decent horses. Look at the handicap marks here. Every Chance is rated 86, Tatting 81, Throckley 80, Vivat Rex also rated 80. They're good horses who are capable of running well in handicaps, yeah, as well. And this is framed almost as if it is a handicap. The one that interests me here is Throckley. Tatting won this race last year, and obviously he's been lined up for it again, and you've got to respect his chances. But Throckley is a horse I've followed since he won his maiden for John Davis. He joined Conor Doerr before his penultimate start and won here, and I'm incredibly annoyed that I hadn't looked at the card because he was a 25-1 shot.
Right.
And I've always thought he would be suited by Fibresand. he proved that day that he was. He's since finished last, and I think a lot of people will judge him on his last run and say, well, clearly the previous run, given that he was a 25-1 shot, must have been a fluke. He finished last on his next start. That was at Wolverhampton, which wouldn't be his course in a million years. Back on Fibresand, I expect him to bounce back to form. He's very fairly weighted based on his official rating. I mean, the standout is Every Chance, but he hasn't raced here before, and I'm not sure that he will be a Southall horse, whereas Tatting definitely is, Throckley definitely is. Vivat Rex is Throckley's stable companion, who will be fine on the surface as well, as is Brigadoon, who's getting on in years now, is fairly reliable, doesn't win races much these days. And I thought Throckley was very, very interesting, and because he's got that terrible run last time out, you might get a price about him.
Okay, Throckley the choice in that 2:30 race at Southall. So Throckley in the 2:30, and Rory also going with Tricky Dicky in the 2 o'clock. Pleasure as always, thanks for that, Rory, and enjoy the action.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.